Bet on Bears fans, welcome into another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast. Look at your he's enamored.
I like you, man. That looks good.
I thought I was really walking the chocolate there today, man. What the hell?
Where's Johnny Depp at? Johnny, where you at? You back here? Come on. Hey. Captain Jack Sparrow. Where you at, Captain Jack Sparrow?
Only
he plays Willy Wonka.
The second I walked in the building, everybody went, oof. And yeah. I was like, is this the first time I've worn color in here?
Well, I think it's the blue on blue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah, it's a little much.
This is very Sergio Tacchini-like, you know? Everybody in the Balkans got their nice little sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Guys, they wear their slides. Yeah. They got the Adidas black with white stripes coming up. They got their, you know, old school T-shirts on. And, you know, with a light jacket that goes over the top, representing whatever team they happen to be a fan of.
Yeah,
that's the
vibe I'm giving off.
That's like the vibe. That's the first morning vibe. Like if you were a Chelsea fan, that would be perfect right there. If you were a Chelsea fan out at Stamford Bridge, you've got it going. All you need is the Chelsea logo right there. You'd be perfect. They'd love you in Europe.
I love it. I got one of my homies.
Eventually, when you guys want to jump on board.
Whenever.
America. It's time.
America runs
up. I'm running.
What do you think's in
it.
Here?
Whatever we need. Boom. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. What do you think's in here? Right here. Yeah.
Look how
that's
handsome.
What's in here.
Look how handsome all this coffee makes me look. Oh, my sweet heaven.
You should try the blue, Yerk. You should try the blue.
Blue?
You could pull this off.
I've got blue, like golf quarter zips.
Yeah.
I've got plenty of them, and they bring out my blue eyes.
Do you do the full suit, though? Blue pants as well?
I can't get away
with you could pull this off, Yerk.
And I'm going to tell you why. I got a gut, and my gut stops me from wearing a lot of things.
Yeah.
So the minute I could buy, like today, I almost borderline shorts today.
Yeah. It's a nice day.
Degrees,
it's
a little damp, warm. Yeah. It's not windy. Today's the day I can get away with coming from the garage, coming to here, just wearing with shorts.
Yeah.
But no. I'm going to keep the jeans on up until March 17th, as is my want.
Yeah.
And as is my philosophy. So
let's talk a little Bears here.
What would you like to talk about?
I want to talk to you about the fact that the Chicago Bears are interviewing Joe Barry. And I need some insight on this from a former Packers player and somebody who's talked on Packers radio, things like that, about Joe Barry, because I think he's possibly one of the worst candidates we could put in the room if we were to bring him in.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's personnel. It's all about personnel, what you can do with personnel. And a lot of defense coordinators get limited by the types of personnel that they have and what they can and what they cannot do. Being a defense coordinator for the Chicago Bears was very difficult last year until Montez gets here.
Right.
Now, Montez gets here, you get a little bit more pass rush. Guys could be a little bit more daring. So a lot of what a coordinator can and can't do is dependent upon the types of abilities that he has on the defensive side of the ball. And the better your players are, the more adventuresome you could become, the more plain Jane you can be, too.
Right.
You can just attack with four guys and let's go have a party, drop seven. You could play like a two-man. You could play some two-under. You can disguise coverages if your people can handle it, and you can get a little bit crazy and cause some confusion on the other side of the ball. So I would never look at a guy and say, hey, like say Luke Getsy had more to work with on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
We can all agree that they were somewhat limited. If the top offense in the league operates at 100%, we could say that the Bears were probably in between the 75 and 82 range,
right,
depending how they were playing that day.
And who was healthy.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So,
and the center position.
It's hard for me to lambast because you're going to notice that some guys are successful some places, some guys are not successful some places. And a lot of that has to do with the amount of talent they have. And then you've got to minimize the types of calls. So I wouldn't go out and say Luke Getsy can't be an offense coordinator.
He's interviewing with the Raiders
right
now.
Luke Getsy might go out someplace and do it. Vic Fangio, we know, can play defense. But if you look at Vic Fangio's defenses, they're not all top five defenses all the time. Why? Because it's the kind of guys you can't. So when I'm looking at a defense coordinator and I'm looking at Joe Barry, does he have the mindset? Does he have the ability? Does he have the experience to call the plays? Now, if you give him some playmakers – now, all of a sudden, what happens? And I remember that on the offensive side of the football, too. when we had, you know, Favre, and you had a Chewy, and you had Jackie Harris in the back, you had Sterling, you had a young Robert Brooks, a young Antonio Freeman. You know, you're saying a whole lot of young guys. But until they really kind of upgraded and they brought, you know, some players in, then all of a sudden Favre became a stud. Now, when we lost Sterling, we distributed the ball more evenly.
Yeah.
That's the way the offense is supposed to work. And then they brought in more talent on the offensive side of the ball. And back then we ran. So we had Dorsey Levins at the running back position, upgraded from Edgar Bennett. Edgar Bennett came to Chicago. We had Dorsey back there, William Henderson at the fullback. Chewy and Keith Jackson were at the tight end position. So the minute you start upgrading players, and you see that the natural tendency on a team that was 3-14
right,
to a team that goes to 7-9, and now if they do it right, I've got the game plan, what I think it's going to be. There's going to be some more draft picks. You're going to identify some of the key, the weak spots. Gervin Dexter, hopefully he's watching that the film that I told him, Santana Dotson.
Santana Dotson.
Hopefully he's watching Santana
Somebody
Dotson.
Somebody send him this tape,
ball.
Santana Dotson.
Send him the Santana Dotson tape. I mean, that's what needs to happen. I thought Dexter from the beginning of the year to the end of the year was a markedly improved player.
Yep.
And it was going to take him time to break into the system he was at the University of Florida. So they did it. The better the players become, and then Joe Barry then, or whoever becomes the defense coordinator, has to then become comfortable with the capabilities of the individual players. And then once you figure out what they can and cannot do, then you start making the calls that are very specific to the type of players and the type of defense you believe that team can be.
Yeah.
So I never lambast coaches and say, oh, they're god-awful this. The Norv Turner's been fired 10 times. Nobody could disagree that Norv Turner's not a quality offensive coordinator. Yeah. He has. He's won Super Bowls. Yeah. There's no denying that Norv Turner has put together some good stuff, yet he gets fired.
Right.
And that's what happens. When you're a coach, you come into a situation, you identify, you try to maximize the potential of whatever unit you have, and then if it hits, great. If not, but at the end of the day, you look at as a coach or as a team, and you look at the talent that you have, it just might not be good enough. I was victimized by that. Ron Wolf looked at me, and he says, listen, he's a great player. He's a gritty player. He's a tough player, but he's just not what I need.
Right.
We need somebody that could put pressure from the three technique. I couldn't do it. Gilbert couldn't do it. So
more
they got they got Santana in.
Yeah.
Moved Gilbert to the nose. Gilbert was a much better player than I was, right? Didn't mean I couldn't play in the league. Just means that they had upgraded the three technique to the point they could shift Gilbert over, and Gilbert was better than I was. I had to go find a new home. Right. That's the way it is with talent in the NFL sometimes. So I'm not going to lambast Joe Barry. People like to do that, and they like to tear apart coaches. I don't do that. What I'll tell you is he has to be able to identify the talent he has on this team. This team is talented. Its defensive backfield is probably one of the finest young defensive backfields. And if you bring Johnson back,
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, you got him, and I do numbers. 39, you got 29, you got 6, you got 9.
Yeah.
You got young kids that played this year. Your depth is pretty
darn
good. Tyreek
Stevenson, Terrell Smith got a lot of experience.
Yeah. You got some pretty good young talent that hopefully with another pass rusher. Remember what I'm saying? You paid your linebackers already, so I'm not even worried about the linebacking position. They're there. Now you just need one more stud coming off the corner, along with the development of Dexter, Pickens, and whoever else they put in a little bit of mix, because you can play eight. You play eight defensive linemen.
Right.
You do. There's a rotation. You can rush the passer 5 times in a row after that. Guess what? It's like asking a guy to run 5 40s in a row. Do you think they're all going to be at the same speed?
No.
By the time he runs that
slowly
fifth 40,
slower, yeah,
that fifth 40, he's a little more fatigued. He's not quite as prime as he once was.
Now he's a 4 5 guy.
Yeah. And that's like with
no
rest.
Three on one.
Yeah. It's like no rest. First one's down. Turn around, stop, wherever you're at. And we'll count 40 off and we're going here. Then we're going to stop. And that's how pass rushing is. So you got to play a bunch of guys. So. I don't mind Joe Barry. I don't mind other guys. I played for in the NFL, Tom Olivandotti with the Miami Dolphins. Olivandotti was a good coach. We had a bunch of talented linebackers. Rick Graff, Eric Kumro. We had John Offerdahl. We had Mikey Reichenbach, Barry Krause, Cliff Odom. I mean, we had a slew of linebackers that were studs, little Louie Oliver. So he had stuff to work with. So Olivandotti was a pretty good coach. I went up to Green Bay, and our defensive coordinator the first year was Hank Bulla. Mm. Remember the great Hank Bulla was coach up in Buffalo. Son Chuck Bulla played Chuck, for the Michigan okay, State
Chuck,
Spartans.
Chuck, I got. Right.
So Hank was up there with us that first year. Then Ray Rhodes came in.
Right.
Now, Ray Rhodes has had varying amounts of success, and nobody would tell you Ray Rhodes is not a great coach. Ray Rhodes is a great coach, okay, but he's had varying amounts of success, right? Somebody says Ray Rhodes stinks. He got fired in Philadelphia as the head coach. He got fired in Green Bay as the head coach when he came back, and they finished 8-8. And as a defense coordinator, he had varying levels of success with his defenses, right? So, you know, he won a Super Bowl with Frisco in 94 when he left us. So it's they have to get in. They have to become comfortable with the people they have. And that's how you call plays, and that's what you do. So Ray was with me. Dick Geron was with me in Jacksonville. And then when I got to Cleveland, it was the hot name, Bobby Slowick. It's Bobby Slowick's father.
Yeah.
He was a coordinator here with Dave Wannstedt, the defense coordinator. He was our coordinator up there. All good coaches. Bobby Slowick in Cleveland, when I was the third best guy on the field defensively, what do you think that was like for him when he woke up at night going, holy Christ, Yurko's the third best player on my defense. We're going to stink to the bejesus.
Yeah.
And now he can't let anybody know that. He's got to present himself in front of the meetings. He's got to have all the confidence in the world. But we couldn't run what we wanted to run because we had idiots on our team.
Yeah.
We had defensive players that were, some of them were at the end of their career. We made more mistakes than anybody would. Our mental errors, like 10 games, 11 games into the season, 29, 28, 26, 20, 22, 21, 2 for the good kid in 10 games. Well, you can't make mistakes. You know, and your defensive line coach, Clarence Brooks, says, you know why Yurko's been in the league 10 years? Because I can trust him. I know he's going to be where I need him to be. He's made 2 mental errors in 10 games. He goes, look at your list, guys. Look at him. 29. And that's what a defensive coordinator has to coach to.
Yeah.
You only can coach to the talent that you have. Okay. And you try to maximize whatever you have. And then all of a sudden you can become a bad defense coordinator. I don't believe that. I don't buy it. I said all these coaches can coach. Some can identify what their players can do or can't do a little bit quicker than others, but everybody can coach. If Joe Barry were to be hired here, the first thing he's got to do is learn his team. He's got to get out there. He's got to figure out what his guys can and can't do and then maximize what they do.
I think the part that scares a lot of fans is, right, when you look at that Packers defense, right, you look at a team that it almost feels like this is Joe Barry's talent. These are the guys that he's gone out there and selected. Yeah. These are the guys that he's gone out and said, you're elite. And these are high picks in the draft, right? There's a lot of – I think they – if I'm not mistaken, I think their defense leads the NFL in first-round picks on that defense, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of where that concern comes in.
Maybe through not their own picks, but also
right, yes.
picks that were acquired from other teams.
Yes.
So
I think that's maybe where a lot of people are like, you're doing all of this. You're supposed to be the elite guy, the leader in the room.
I believe they've been in a position of flux for an extended period of time on their defense. Well, they brought in 2 pass rushers. They drafted a pass rusher. One of those guys is now gone playing someplace else in the league because they can't keep paying people.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And they caught themselves in the cap crunch. So now you can be the greatest defensive, or you can be a good defensive mind. Now all of a sudden the general manager comes up from above and says, we got to start sacrificing.
Yeah.
We're this much over the cap. We're going to have a crap load of dead money. Blah, blah, blah. Who can you go without? If you had to be without somebody, who can you be without? And I think that's kind of a little bit of a flux that they've been in, that they've had some casualties on the defensive side of the ball. But, I mean, Jair Alexander, we all acknowledge that he's one hell of a receiver. What happens when he gets
DB.
Beat? Yeah, defensive back, cornerback. What happens when he gets beat? I'm a corner. He's a top-rated corner, top-paid corner in the league, right?
Oh,
and he gets beat.
His fall off has been.
Right, but I'm a coordinator. I put him out there, and now he's getting beat like a drum at times.
Yes.
And then every blue moon, he'll pop for you, and they'll give you that little superstar play that he's getting paid for.
Yeah.
But he doesn't play consistently enough at that high level that you want him at. So what do you do now? I'm a defense coordinator. Now my best player, my highest-paid player, has decided that he's going to go on a mental strike for a while and not produce the best football you can. So what do you do as a coordinator? Now you got to be a little bit more conservative with him. Now you can't be as aggressive with him.
But he's going out for the coin toss.
Right. Oh, well, in Carolina especially.
Carolina especially. He's going out for the coin toss.
And then you got to suspend the guy again. But that's my point.
Yeah.
So the head coach I mean, the head coach, the coordinators, when you identify what your guys can do, again, put them in the best position to win, and then they decided to have brain farts on you.
Yeah.
Now what do you do as a coordinator? A guy you know is supposed to have contain doesn't have contain. Is that me as a defense coordinator screwing it up, or is it me now not being able to trust my player to be able to keep contain when he's supposed to keep contain? See, they're all small little things that ultimately, at the end of the day, everybody wants to be confident with each other, and everybody wants to be able to propel themselves forward, but you can only do that with the production of play. And if the production of play is there to match the expectations for everybody, then all of a sudden the guy looks like a superstar.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what he's able to do. I think he hasn't been hired yet. He's coming in for the interview. I think the fact that Flus is here does kind of keep things a little, you know, status quo defensively. Right, right. So I feel better about whoever we hire as the DC, no matter what.
But here's the thing. That's why I'm trying to speak in generalities.
Right.
And not always trying to speak specific to an individual, because there are those certain unknowns within a team, and those are those that learning process and that learning curve that you're going to have with getting to know your people. That's why I can't sit and just say, oh my God, this guy's horrific or this guy's the fantastic hire, because all these people are competent people. They're all competent people. Okay. Now you got to trust them. They've got to trust you. And then you've got to go out there and you've got to put it all on the line without having brain farts. And mental errors will kill every team up there.
Every team. Every team. And we've seen it. We've seen it here way too much. Yeah. We got a weekend of more playoff football coming here, Yerk. Before we let you get out of here, if you could take one player off of any of the four teams available that is not a quarterback.
Right. Yeah. I don't want a quarterback. I got Justin Fields. San Francisco. Baltimore.
For the Super Bowl.
No, I'm thinking.
Oh, thinking of the teams. Lions, San Francisco, Baltimore, Lions, and
if I was going to take a receiver.
And Chiefs, of course.
Yeah, and the Chiefs. If I was going to take a receiver, I would stay away from Chiefs. Kelsey's too old. So I'm looking at a young player.
Yeah.
And if I was a young player, I'd go on two. It would either be Zay Flowers.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Offensive side of the ball first. I'll either do Zay Flowers or I'll do Amon St. Brown.
Oh, we get the right St. Brown.
Right.
Yeah, we get the right St. Brown.
Not Equanimeous. And then if I was going to do a defensive player that's coming off the corner dependent upon age, I would stick with the two offensive players. That's what I want to go with. Maybe Aiden Hutchinson, just because of how young he is.
Yeah.
And he does pressure the quarterback, even though it doesn't always result in the sack amounts that one would love.
Yeah.
But maybe I take Aiden Hutchinson.
Well, we got a chance at one of those guys possibly, because he could be a free agent. Would you take a Chase Young for the Niners who could be coming available?
No.
Not a Chase Young guy.
No. To me, it's an injury concern for Chase Young. Injury concern. Can he ever get back to the level he wants? He's going to want to get paid at that level. Somebody might be willing to pay him at that level.
7.5 sacks was his high. That's what he did get this year. Yeah,
Danielle Hunter. That's what I want. I want Danielle Hunter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just from the offseason. Oh, yeah. If I got my option, yes, Danielle Hunter, who does come with injury concerns as well. Sure,
he's missed some games.
We've seen him come back from that and be pretty good still.
Yeah, but not a catastrophic injury.
No, Chase's was
bad one.
It was he missed basically 2 years.
Yeah,
pretty much. So no, and I guess hear what you.
Knees don't get healthier.
Well, yeah,
that's no, what, they that's don't get healthier. They just have a tendency to break down on you.
There's this mindset that the older you get, the better you get. It's like but you also get more broken down.
All right, I gave you Flowers, I gave you St. Brown, and then Danielle Hunter. If I had my best case scenario,
off-season signing,
and then develop my defensive tackles the way they're developing. I'm telling you, Dexter can be a star.
Yeah,
all he's got to do is work at it, but then he's got to see it though. I mean, that's why I'm telling you. I might send a note out on that Twitter.
I'm telling you, man,
where I put a little Santana dots, and this is who he can be. Eric, you got to help me with this. I'm going to put it together, and I'm going to do a little soliloquy on Santana Dotson, and Dexter can be Santana Dotson. And that's the film that he's got to watch, and that's how he's got to develop, and that's what he's going to be. If he does that, 3 years from now, he's going to be a gazillionaire. A gazillionaire.
I'm excited.
He's going to make a ton of money. He's going to make a lot of cash. The day
that he becomes Jervon and not Gervin, DeYurko, we know he's a stud.
Yeah.
Hey, we appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love to another episode of the Chicago Bears podcast.
Is he 99 or 98? Which one?
Javon Dexter's 98.
Okay, 98.
Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. Y'all stay safe out there.
See ya.
For the good kid, it's your boy Pat the Designer. Peace.